Welcome back in to Game Time, everybody. Matt Verzal, Aaron Taylor hanging out with you for at least this first hour. I think you've got your beautiful wife, already got 60 pounds of mulch down. Like, half your day is done.
60 bags already.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, 60 bags.
Yeah.
How much is a bag? Not much of a mulcher.
What's that?
Not much of a mulcher.
No, well, it fills up the whole back in the truck.
Oh.
By far.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's not easy.
60 of those?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a worker. Them Battle Creek,
farm girl, man.
Them Battle Creek chicks.
She keeps me on that straight and narrow.
And it's funny, too, like when I'm on here, we talk about Oz, and he was on that Battle Creek water, and literally everybody's like, oh, my God, they were all on the Battle Creek water. So that's always a good one. Quick one coming out here of the...
Battle.
Yeah, you like that one, don't
uh-huh.
you? Of the Twitter here. Verse, so how many former O-line people were farm boys, and did they throw bales of hay, and is that missing currently? Reason I picked this one out, Aaron had one of the more fascinating, it wasn't hay bales. T, what did you throw around in the summer in Texas?
Quarters of beef.
Threw around quarters of beef.
Quarters
now,
of beef, yeah. I worked at a old-fashioned meat market.
Yeah.
Yep.
Legit old-fashioned. And when you told me the story that you know, that's how you learn to hang clean. Right,
yeah.
Your hand cleaning up to your shoulder. And the part that always gets me, still to this day, always get me, if any of you have worked in cattle, in hog, whatever, the fat starts to get hot, and it melts, and it hits the little slide, and it's a full-blown ramp down.
Right.
That in soccer, which I always tell that one too, attribute to your feet. Because if you go down with a side of beef on your shoulder, that's going to be a bad deal.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a job I did every now and then. I ended up marrying the owner's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got my beautiful older daughter, Caitlin, out of that. Yeah.
Great graduated family. High school?
Yep, great family. What's that?
Caitlin's graduated high school, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's in her second year of college and going into education. Bless her heart.
Hey, man.
She's a good girl. She's got a great attitude and a great disposition for it.
Yeah.
Unlike her daddy. Right? Couldn't deal with those kids.
No.
How
long did you coach for? Like 15 minutes?
Maybe 20.
Yeah. We're going to head to hotline here, and we're going to talk to John. John, what is up, my man?
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys this morning. So, tell you what, my senior year in high school, I switched from tackle as a junior to center. So I got a lot of empathy both for you two guys having played center and made switches, and then also what the guys are doing now. The comment I wanted to make about it was we didn't do shotgun snaps back in the day. And aren't they expecting darn near perfection as far as getting the ball where the quarterback needs it? And I don't know if that's 98 out of 100 or if it's less than that. But a lot of empathy for what these guys are going through technique-wise, because I know I had a lot to learn in a quick period of time. And we were good, but we weren't that good. So I'm just thankful that I didn't have to be a shotgun snapper, even though I did long snap. But what do you guys think in terms of what length of time? I mean, do you think somebody like Juergens can pick this up in less than a year? And what about the kid from Iowa Western that's coming also? Do you know much about him?
Yeah, thank you, John. We appreciate the call, bud. Did you get that one?
I did, yeah.
All right. I think if we both know Scott Frost, anything less than 100% is going to be called to the carpet like, hey, we're not at 98% here. It's every snap, every time has to be done in the right way. So that's the deal. Is it something he can learn in a year? Absolutely. He can learn over the summer. It's just you have to get tens of thousands of snaps in to get it to become muscle memory, second nature. Now that's one of the fun things coaching Scott. Every now and then the old Terminator will want to dust off the arm, see if he's still got it. So I'll hop in there at center and shotgun a few back there and let him sling them around the practice. It's like riding a bike. And that's what you got to get it to.
Yeah, and then, you know, what you do is you just start breaking it down, right? First and foremost is getting the snap back there, right? And, you know, we talked earlier about that dead ball snap,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't understand. I don't get.
I hate it.
It's and
dumb.
It's not even an old school new thing.
No.
New school type of thing. It's just, I don't get it. You just get back there and work on that. You can sit right there in your stance and you can snap. You grab 10 balls, stick them right beside you, snap them,
mm-hmm.
right? And just get used to the feel. When you get good enough at it, and I wasn't this way, but when you get good enough at it, and it's because I didn't play it long enough, you can start controlling the revolutions mm-hmm. of the ball getting back to yep. the quarterback, right? And so, again, it's just getting used to it and doing it day in, day out, and you're right. He can do that. So once you start getting used to getting the ball back there, mm-hmm. then you get the ball back there and take your first step.
Now he goes, yep.
Then get the ball back there, first step, second step. And yep. so you just start doing it incrementally. And, you can grab – if you're an athlete, you can pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the whole thing.
And there's a – to keep it in a real-life example, there's an app called Musician, okay? So my grandma's always said I should know how to play piano. Well, I got this app called Musician, and it walks you through it. But you're literally starting just moving one finger at a time, hitting the hitting the keys. Now you go two, and now you're going both hands. So before you know it, it's – when the progress comes, you're not even thinking about it. That's when it becomes
your base.
Right. Joshua Wegner, WGENER. Don't know enough about him to be dangerous, but I know, I think where they are at is if he comes in and he's better than everybody, he's going to play. There's not going to be a lot of debate. Like, they're going to put their perceived best five on the field. I don't think they care if you're new. I don't think they care if you're old.
I agree. He's coming off an injury. I think the potential is there for him, but outside of that, I'm like you. I don't know much else about him.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you, Cam's going to be the guy.
For the season?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But he's their guy for the future.
Oh, for sure.
So if anybody can bridge that gap, I don't know. We'll see, man. Here's what I like about it is
you're having discussion.
We have competition.
About it. Yep.
Right. I mean. We're at least talking about it versus, oh boy, who's our five that yeah. we're going to roll out?
Right. That okay. middle is going to be muddy, too. And I'm a proponent of this. People roll their eyes at me when I say it, but I think that the shotgun spread offense has led to lineman knee injuries more than anything else because the defensive ends, when they attack, it's from a different angle, right? They're coming around, they whip from the back, or they try to play both guys. And when they come, you're somebody in the middle, God forbid, hopefully not seriously, but is going to get hurt. So the more guys you can have playing that middle, you know, your Sichtermans, right. your Forbeses, your Wyatt Millers, Trent Hicksons, you know, those guys in there, you can't have enough bodies. And you can't have enough good bodies. So we're all for competition. Get them to compete, and I think it's going to be a fantastic setup for them.
You know, you talk about that, right? And so you're talking about staff, mm-hmm. staffing, right? Of what players, personnel, where you're going to put where – those kind of things. And you talked about lineman injuries. Linemen don't get injured.
Right.
Right? Maybe the injury started occurring, and this is probably the old school deal, but what in the hell is up with all these knee braces,
yeah.
man? I sit right there, and I complain about it every time, and Aaron Graham probably came back and said the best thing ever to me about this whole thing.
He said,
NFL guys don't wear them.
Yeah.
And he said, they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid to play that position. If it was going to benefit them,
they'd wear them.
They wear them.
Yep.
I think it.
Just mentally, I think it would mess with me.
Right. You put one on, right?
Yeah.
I had one on. I sprained my MCL my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully we were on a bye week, but I wore that brace for one practice, and it was the most restrictive thing ever. And I said this on the round table, Coach Tenneper was big on being an athlete,
right?
And we all prided ourselves in that mm-hmm. everybody except Rob Zadichka. right? I was telling the wife, we went and did this documentary thing last Friday, and Zadichka was on there, and I was telling my wife on the way back, Tanya, about Rob, and I said, that's one guy you could tell to go run around a hula hoop, and he'd make it a square.
Yep.
Right?
No, he'd say, where is the diagram for this hoop I'm supposed to run right? around?
Yeah, some mathematical equation. So anyhow, we prided ourselves on being athletes. And whenever I had that brace on, and I know I'm not going to change Greg Austin's uh-huh. or anybody else's ideas on them, but for me, it was so restrictive, and I couldn't go out and be that athlete.
Right. right.
It was lateral movement and
yeah.
all other angles that was very restrictive. It was more inline directional type stuff that it provided support on.
Yeah, I agree 100% with all that. I wouldn't wear them. I'd be like, hey, what waiver am I signing? But I didn't matter. So,
anyway, we were talking about injuries, and I got off on that. But
what
yeah.
waiver am I signing so I don't have to wear this thing? Doug said, who weighs more? We're going to go with Ty. Who is the bigger ladies' man? Aaron was married, so he's out. I am the better golfer, and Taylor played dirtier.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think I'm a little less than you right now. Yeah, you for a lot of years, you were less than me.
Yeah.
But
you're doing good,
ladies man. I was married. I'm kind of the old man of our group. Always.
Oh yeah.
You know, relationship wise. Yeah, yeah. Right.
You were at home.
And so that, and then golfer. Yeah, because you get out more. I will tell you though, I'll give you credit, man, because it was fun to get out and play with you, and we haven't done it in a while.
But I know.
It was always fun to get out and learn. Right. Hey, do this, do that, and. Not in a competitive way, but just to, hey, get better. Because it's fun when you go out with people and you know they're an athlete or they can do things.
Uh-huh.
And if it's just, hey, try this, tweak this, and, right. and you see that conversion. You know, a lot of that in the 90s there when I'd go out and play with you, it was kind of what developed my game.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Yeah.
God, that was
we
fun.
We did that a lot of times, man. But we had the Hog Open. Yeah,
I know. I'd go back in a second, man, if they'd just let us. A couple fake Social Security numbers, good shave, we're good. And Jake says, Verves, when is Texas Aaron Taylor-themed pizza coming out? Tea and Dish, their pizza is going to be called the Tex-Mex because Taylor's from Texas and Dishman is Mexican. And we got that one concocted, so that will be on the playbook coming out before next football season.
Yeah, we
got
to get that out.
I'll get your header written.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah. We got to change a couple things, but it's in the works. That was a terrible tease by me, but it's.
I think was it going to be called Tex-Mex or
Tex-Mex?
I thought it was the left side.
You can call it whatever you want. It's your pie.
Well, we'll talk to Dish.
Yeah, we got to consult Dishman on that, but yeah, that'll definitely happen. I wish we could have expanded a little bit more on it, but that picture of Nebraska without Adrian Martinez, and I give the utmost of respect to Frost. Verduzco, the whole entire staff of assessing that, saying, this kid is different, not only as an athlete, as a human being, right?
Right.
Because if Adrian Martinez isn't Nebraska's quarterback, how different does this whole situation and scenario look?
It's where I think we're talking.
You're not talking like you're talking.
No, man. And that kid right there, you know, it. I don't know because I wasn't here when Frazier came in.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was kind of that feeling. But you know, is it going to be the Frazier effect, right? Where it's just, from my understanding and from the stuff I heard, is this is what we do. That we win and we go out and we do it this way. Man, I tell you that Adrian is he says all the right things. He performs. You know what game I think was a big game for him last year? Michigan State.
Yep.
That kid looked absolutely miserable in the cold. And then it was like that midway through the third quarter, through the remainder of the game, it's like he just flipped that switch mm-hmm. and he could see it. Then he's like, this is ours. Let's go.
And I think if you ask Nebraska fan, when would you know this kid is going to be your quarterback, you would have expected them to say, oh, that game he had 6 rushing touchdowns and he threw for 2 more and we won, blah, 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 blah. Nope. It was a 9-6?
Yeah.
Ended up?
Right.
9-6, ugly, snow game. Kid had the whole thing under control.
For me, that was it.
Yeah.
Because he was, man, it was cold.
Oh,
it was horrible. And kudos to the Nebraska fans for sticking that thing out because it was awesome. It was awesome, man. It's what makes me proud to be from this university, this state, right? Because it's like, I tell all my Texas people, I'm like, look what you guys do. You can't even stick, you know, 50,000 in for... Mm-hmm. You know, a TCU for a top 15 team, and here we are. It is what it is, and we're packing in 83,000, 90,000,
right.
whatever it is. It's awesome,
and it's. You know, I'll be honest. It's the first time in a long time when you know you see the other fan bases yip, right? Yeah. Iowa's yipping, Wisconsin's yipping. I'm like, hey, good. Oh, you know, this is the only one. It's good that Nebraska fans got to see Nebraska win. Like, I love it.
Right.
I think it's great. Because for the first time in a long time, I can see progress, right? I used to see regression as I would watch the season going. Now I see progress in it. But did it ever get hard for you to go and watch or to pay attention or to see Nebraska football happen? Yeah. It did for me.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And it's not based upon the style they were running, those kind of things. It was just, here's what disappointed me, being an out-of-state kid coming in and playing and then seeing the product the past X amount of years, is we got away from, and as Scott talks about it, we got away from what the Nebraska values are, the Nebraska state values, right? You know, whether, you know, hard work, honesty, integrity, perseverance. I mean, all of those words that you can come up with, to me, that's what I learned up here in this state, man. This is what us people are about. And when we got away from several of those, and specifically the walk-on program, and you talk about that and those kind of things, but you start taking away those values when you start taking away those walk-ons, and you can beat this to death. But it's a real deal. And what you have is you have that nucleus of Nebraska kids that bring those values from their family, from their state, and now you start sprinkling in a few other kids from out of state, and you have what it is. We got away from that, and we got away from it.
We got away from a lot.
Bill Callahan, and I think Pelini has a little bit of it. You know, you can see a little bit of that Midwestern-type values, if you call it that.
Yep.
But it wasn't quite Nebraska, right? And yeah, so it was tough to watch. It was.
Yeah, it's a deal. It's the exact opposite to, like, Steve Peterson having no plan or no plan B. He had a plan. They had no plan B when plan A failed. The lag on what that does to the program and the dissension it created, it's just amazing how far it tripled out.
Right.
How far it's gone. We got to head to break here, though. We're going to is this wrapping up hour number one? All right, wrapping up hour number one. We'll be back with more Game Time. Sorry for the long break. T and I haven't had a chance to visit in a while, but you're all getting to be a part of it. We'll talk more Game Time. We return here on 1620 The Zone.